You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
NFL owners will vote on potential rule changes that could have a direct effect on the Chicago Bears in 2020. Welcome into the Locked On Bears podcast, brought to you by Built Bar. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I cover the Chicago Bears for Bears Wire. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today, we are looking at the proposals that NFL owners will be voting on today, May 28th, looking at what looks likely to be onside kick changes and some other proposals that have a little bit of a lower chance of being made. And then we'll wrap up with looking at a couple of other rule change ideas that we'd like to see to make the NFL game a little bit more exciting and a little bit more fair. It's possible that we've seen the last onside kicks in NFL history, although it's not totally clear to me whether or not the NFL's proposed change would completely replace onside kicks, or if it would be another option alternative to the onside kick. The wording seems to, and the exact wording here from the NFL would be that to provide an alternative to the onside kick that would allow a team an opportunity to maintain possession of the ball after scoring. Teams would get a 4th and 15 from their own 25-yard line, and if they convert it, they keep the ball and start a new drive from wherever they were. So to me, that sounds like it's a choice to onside kick or to attempt a 4th and 15 conversion, and the proposal seems to have a lot of momentum and a high likelihood of passing today when the NFL owners vote on it. It's undergone some changes in terms of late amendments to try and make this onside kick change more fair. It's officially now going to be an untimed down, so you can't score and then take that one last play to try and run out the clock rather than giving your team, your opponent, one more time with the ball. But I think the interesting thing about this is that if there's a penalty after the touchdown, that before the kickoff or onside kick, those post-score penalties would affect this 4th and 15 play. So potentially it could move you up an extra 15 yards before you attempt your 4th and 15 if you had, say, an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty after scoring that touchdown, or it could move you back an extra 15 yards and make that conversion that much more difficult. So it definitely adds an interesting dynamic and makes it a little bit more likely or possible for teams to convert those plays, because onside kicks have been historically very difficult to get. The Bears were one of the few teams, even in recent history, to convert one of them last season. And there was another one that was picked up by Ben Bronicker, but just barely had gone out of bounds. I think there were 8 successful onside kick recoveries last season, and they rarely ever lead to a successful comeback by teams. There's a Twitter account, at Stats by Lopez, said, in the last 2 seasons, not a single team that attempted an onside kick came back to win their games. And between 2003 and 2017, only 15 times did a team attempting an onside kick come back to actually win the game. So it wasn't proving to be a very effective strategy, thus why the NFL is looking to change it. And Matt Nagy even weighed in on the potential change when he was a guest on the Rich Eisen show this week. He said, whatever they say, I'm cool with. I think what you have to do is, it's 4th and 15, you got to start having some plays that are going to give you the best opportunity possible. But he was asked if he might consider pulling out one of those in the middle of a game, maybe as a little bit of a surprise or just an attempt to steal an extra possession in there. He said, quote, I'd have to study it more. It's definitely unique, and I like that part about it. So definitely something Matt Nagy could be keeping up his sleeve as an opportunity, but it just emphasizes the importance of having an effective offense, and most importantly, having effective and consistent quarterback play. 4th and 15s are hard enough for any offense. Even Patrick Mahomes can only pull out so much magic along the way, but especially if you're not getting consistent downfield accuracy at the quarterback position, it makes 4th and 15 just as difficult, if not more difficult, as a potential onside kick. So being able to get this quarterback competition figured out, being able to have receivers consistently get open, being able to have offensive linemen that can hold up in pass protection, tight ends that can offer a real threat over the middle, all of those things add up to being particularly more important now late in these games if the Bears are going to have to convert one of these potential 4th and 15 attempts from their own 25-yard line. More specifically, it can only be done in regulation and will not apply for overtime, although I think it's pretty rare that you see an onside attempt in overtime, but you're also limited to just twice per game. You can't do it more than twice, and I can't imagine there's a lot of multiple endgame situations where you need it more than twice, but if you do it once earlier in the game, you can't do it a second time later, or if you pull it twice early in a game, you can't do it in the fourth quarter when you need to. And initially, the rule was supposed to be you could only do it while you were losing, but the team, the league competition committee has amended it to open it up to a lot of different possibilities. So I think there's some real fun potential there. And even though the Bears were successful on their onside kick last season, I still think this is a rule that benefits them as it would any other team and gives them some opportunities if they're coming from behind to be able to put their offense on the field one more time and see what Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky or Nick Foles and Allen Robinson, and et cetera, what they can work up to try and get a big conversion and get a comeback drive reignited. So the onside kick rule is obviously the headliner, but it's not the only change the NFL owners will be considering. We'll look at the potential referee changes and some tweaks to a few minor penalty rules next on Locked On Bears. I'll tell you, one of the best changes I've made this offseason is adding Built Bars to my diet because they really are the best tasting protein bars ever. I just ordered my third box. It's supposed to arrive in the next day or so, and I just can't get enough because not only are they delicious, I mean, they taste like a candy bar. They have the consistency. They're chewy, they're sweet, and they're covered in chocolate just like a candy bar. But they're high in protein, low in calories, low in sugar, low carbs, high fiber. It's got everything that I want and none of what I don't. And I can't get enough of the coconut flavor, the banana bread, the salted caramel chocolate, the peanut butter brownie, the mint brownie. I have not had a Built Bar flavor that wasn't completely delicious, and they're all good for you. That's why we're giving you $10 off your first order at builtbar.com when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. That's builtbar.com, promo code LOCKEDON, for $10 off your first order. The proposed onside kick change is one of two proposals directly from the NFL's competition committee, which generally means it's got a high likelihood of passing because the competition committee includes owners that will be voting on the proposal at the full owners' meeting. But some of the other proposals came from teams directly and didn't have the same vetting and seal of approval from the competition committee, which means they have a less likelihood of passing outright upon this sort of first proposal. Not that all of them are completely brand new, but just that they haven't had that same level of approval and scrutiny from the so powerful competition committee. But some of them are interesting and could give you some potential of interest for the Bears and how they operate. And nothing is monumental and astronomical and going to change the game of football altogether, but some little things that I think could help improve the game if the owners were going to adopt them. I think the most notable one is the proposal of both a booth umpire as an eighth game official to the officiating crew, as well as a senior technology advisor to the referee to assist the officiating crew. And it was sort of mulled around and discussed kind of publicly by owners without being in an actual meeting, but then the owners then withdrew that proposal just on Tuesday, and the NFL instead sort of replaced it with a proposal now for a preseason test run of essentially having the sky judge. It's very similar to what the XFL had implemented with quite some success, where there's somebody in the booth that could watch the instant replays and be sort of that extra official to chime in when there's something that they notice right away being incorrectly called on the field. It wouldn't even necessarily have to take a coach's challenge, but it would be for, you know, complete, incomplete, or intercepted passes, touching of a loose ball or the goal line or the boundary line or the end zone, sometimes the location of the ball in relation to those lines or where the ball is spotted when someone is down by contact, or sometimes if there's a game clock issue where it has to quick go and look at the replay. These processes will be recommended. The NFL will still vote on it, but the competition committee is recommending that NFL officiating test these processes during the 2020 preseason. And then it was, I believe, Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated who reported that if it works in the preseason, it could be implemented for the 2020 season. So I think for all the times we've heard Chicago Bears fans complain about NFL referees, and that's really not even limited to Bears fans. Most teams, maybe outside of the New England Patriots and Dallas Cowboys, feel like the referees are against them or officiate them unfairly. Believe it or not, even the Green Bay Packers fans really feel like the referees are quite often out to get them. So the hope would be that this sky judge and these changes to the, or these proposed changes to the refereeing system could help prevent some of that. If there's little situations where, you know, it's quick and easy for an overseer to fix, but it's not so drastic that the coach wants to challenge and potentially risk losing a timeout. It's just so, sort of supposed to clean things up a little bit without, at least the idea is, without slowing the game down too much. And I think the XFL had some very good success with that. Part of that success was also putting a microphone on the sky judge so we could hear what they were talking through as they were rewatching plays, and you could sort of hear their explanation for it live as they're describing it to the referee on the field, which I don't believe is directly part of the NFL's proposal. But still, I think it's a step in the right direction in terms of refereeing and fairness, and at least a perception and a feeling like a due process was followed. Even if you don't necessarily agree with said due process, the preseason will be a big testing ground for that. And I can only imagine, given that the XFL was a testing ground for that, that it should go about as expected and be a potential implementation for this 2020 season. The other changes being proposed, one would be preventing teams from manipulating the game clock by committing multiple dead ball fouls when the clock is running, trying to either run time off the clock if you're the team that wants the clock to run down, or trying to delay the clock if you're trying to keep the game lasting as long as you possibly can. Trying to cut back on some of that and keep the fouls from affecting the clock in a way that benefits one team that committed the penalties versus, you know, seeing that more as a manipulation rather than an accidental consequence of a penalty action. Another thing would be expanding automatic replay reviews to include plays, the scoring plays and turnovers negated by a foul, as well as any successful or unsuccessful two-point attempt, just to make sure that if one of those plays can't be challenged or needs to be automatically reviewed, it can be when there's the potential for a big score or a big turnover type play. That one, to me, seems like a fairly common sense addition. It's not going to slow the game down that much. And then the other one is another minor tweak for referees and penalties. It would give referees the options, or for the defense to have the game clock start on the referee's signal if the defense declines an offensive penalty that occurs late in either half. So that would, again, if the defense wanted to decline a penalty but still have the clock stop so they could get the ball back, that proposed rule change would just give them a little bit more wiggle room in those late in the half type situations. So it's not going to be a drastically different rule book or anything like that, and perhaps not even all of those proposals would be accepted, although I don't see very many compelling reasons not to add any of those. They all seem fairly common sense. The other one would be expanding defenseless player protection on a kickoff or punt returner who is in possession of the ball but who has not had time to avoid or ward off the impending contact of the opponent. That one obviously has some safety components to it and not wanting those return men to take a big hit. But just, it's going to be really hard, I think, to judge how much is enough time for the player to have time to avoid or ward off the impending contact. That one was approved or recommended by the competition committee, which makes it more likely than others to be approved. But that one, to me, I certainly understand safety, but that one, to me, seems to have the biggest impact on changing football as we know it. And I wonder how much support that will ultimately have from NFL owners. But I also think owners could take this a step farther and clean up a few other things that just aren't quite as smooth or as fair as they should be. We'll discuss some additional rule changes that aren't on the docket but maybe should be in the future next on Locked On Bears. If we were all NFL commissioner for a day, I'm sure there's a lot of things we might try and change about this professional football league. But I think there are a few little things, and I guess some bigger than others, but little things that just either are feel outdated or just don't quite make sense in the modern NFL. And one thing I would want to see, and this wouldn't even be a rule change because the rule is already in place, but it's always bothered me how poorly referees enforce the ineligible receiver downfield rule, where offensive linemen are not allowed to go more than a yard beyond the line of scrimmage before the quarterback releases the ball on a passing play. And in the modern run-pass option offenses that we're seeing, a lot of times offensive linemen tend to get 3, 4, 5 yards downfield, and the referees are looking at a million different things at a time. So I certainly understand it's not easy to enforce, but for whatever reason, it seems to be quite often missed and not always equally enforced by every referee and every team in every play and every situation. And to me, that feels like an area where they could shore some things up, because sometimes these offensive linemen can really get a nice head start downfield, and it really sucks the defense in, because the linemen, you know, you see the offensive lineman coming at you, oh, he's past the line of scrimmage, they can no longer throw the ball, so I will defend the run. But then the quarterback still gets to throw the ball, and it puts defenses at an extra disadvantage in something like a run pass option. It's already very hard to stop, even without linemen going multiple yards downfield. And in college football, I believe the rule is 3 yards before it's an eligible receiver downfield. And that's even worse. I mean, they'll get 5 and 7 yards downfield without getting that flag in college football. But in the NFL, I still don't see that enforced enough. The rule's already in place, so it doesn't quite count the same as a rule change, but it's still something I would propose and I would emphasize if I were an NFL owner or NFL commissioner. But in terms of actual rule changes, something that I think is written incorrectly and needs to be improved, is one of the stupidest rules, in my opinion, in football right now, is the back of the end zone fumble touchback rule, where when the offense fumbles the ball into the end zone and it rolls out of the end zone, you know, either in the back line or in the side end zone lines, it is considered a turnover, and the defense gets the ball back at the 20-yard line almost as if it was a touchback. And I certainly understand wanting to give the defense credit for a forced fumble, and when it goes out of the end zone, they don't have the opportunity to recover it, as neither does the offense in that regard, so it's not completely just screwing the defense. It might be nice to give them like a jump ball, like in basketball, where 50-50 shot at who's going to get it. But short of that, how about you punish the offense for fumbling it out of the end zone without completely having it become a full guaranteed turnover? Because the defense should have to recover it in order to get the turnover. So how about you give the offense the ball at the 20-yard line? So if they fumble it into the end zone, they move back to a new first and 10 at the edge of the red zone. So it's a punishment to them for fumbling. They move back. They lose field position. They're still in field goal range. They haven't lost the ball. They have a new set of downs. But it also rewards the defense and says they're much farther away from the goal line. They have to get those yards back, and still not giving them a free turnover. You could even make it the 10 or the 15 or even the 5. I mean, there's some room for compromise here in terms of how far back do you want to punish the offense? But if you're going to give the defense the ball at the 20 anyway instead of the 1, might as well push the offense back, because what you wouldn't want necessarily is teams to intentionally try and fumble it out of the end zone just to extend the game at the end of game situation. So maybe it could be the sort of thing where you could change, you could make the rule specifically so like it doesn't come into effect if you're in the lead or if you have a certain length of lead or there's a certain amount of time left in the game. You could work some tweaks in there, but it just doesn't seem fair that if the offense happens to fumble it out of the end zone, it's an automatic turnover when the defense didn't have to recover it and the offense didn't have a chance to recover it. And the other rule change that gets tossed around a lot, and I'm not even sure exactly how I feel about it, is eliminating the sudden death portion of overtime and make it like college football, sort of. You can still put a clock on it, but make it so even if you score a touchdown, the other team still gets a chance to score themselves. As it stands right now, if you score a field goal, the other team can get the ball back and has a chance to either tie or win the game. But if you score a touchdown on the opening drive of overtime, you automatically win the game, which puts a lot of power still in that coin toss. Whoever wins the coin toss will receive the ball, has the first shot, and could potentially win the game in overtime without the other team getting a chance to even try and score. And the counter-argument is, well, if you deserve to win, your defense should be able to stop the offense in overtime, get you the ball back, and then score. And I don't even necessarily disagree with that. But I can also see the other side, where it would be more exciting if both offenses had the chance to possess the ball, and you could get into more of an overtime shootout. And you could still have a clock on it, so it's not like college football where the games will go for an extra 2 hours because they score six times in overtime and get to like a 72-72 final score. I think at that point it gets to be maybe a little bit much. And in college, of course, you don't have to drive the full length of the field, and there's some different tweaks here and there. I would still want to do both teams get a possession, but they're still full possessions if I was going to implement that change. But I definitely see the other side and feel like, well, a defense should have to make that stop. I don't like putting so much power in the coin toss, but I also don't feel like both teams automatically deserve a shot to possess the ball in overtime. So I'm pretty torn on that. I don't hate it the way it stands now. I don't think it has to be changed, but I also wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't say, oh, that's a terrible decision. I think it works either way, and I think you can make a decent argument in either direction, and I do like making defense important still and not just have it be a back-and-forth shootout at times, but at the same time, offensive shootouts are fun, especially in overtime in critical situations with big-time quarterbacks and big-time receivers making big-time plays. So we'll see what the NFL owners decide tomorrow and what they decide in the future in terms of some of these other ideas that have been floating around there. But you can bet whenever any of it's going to affect your Chicago Bears, we'll be breaking it all down right here on the Locked On Bears podcast. So make sure that you hit that subscribe button on whatever app it is you'll use to listen to our shows. That's the best way to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. We're working on a couple of interesting and very top secret, fun, exciting things in the background here for the podcast in the future. And I'm not at liberty to say too much just yet because nothing is set in stone, but let's just say it could involve a name that you're quite familiar with potentially becoming a regular visitor on this podcast that I think would really give us something unique that you're not going to find anywhere else. But that's about as much as I can tease right now, and I don't want to get too ahead of myself there. But we're working on some big things behind the scenes that I think you would all be very excited for. So I hope you'll stick with us all throughout this offseason and whatever happens with the short and long-term future of the NFL in this crazy world that we're living in. But I can always guarantee you, no matter what, I'll always leave you this time to bear down.